to the InfoWars Nightly News. It's Tuesday, February 18th, 2014, and I'm Leanne McAdoo. Here's what's coming up tonight.
Tonight, protests in Kiev turn deadly. Then, the Navy describes an Iran hack attack ahead of cybersecurity framework. And Doug Hagman breaks down Baker's suicide. That's next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
I'm never gonna commit suicide. Never, 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 never. If I was diagnosed with cancer, I will go with Darth Vader level surgery.
Well, the violent protests in Kiev, Ukraine have taken a deadly turn. At the time of this broadcast, 14 people have died, with hundreds more injured. It's the worst violence being reported since the protests began in late November. Now, it's being painted that these protesters want to join the EU and evil Russia just isn't letting them. But I would venture to say that most of these people could care less about joining the EU or any of the globalist elites, but rather would fight for what little payment they're receiving from Soros and other EU-backed groups. Now, the protesters are reportedly being paid between 15 and 25 euros. The Assistant Secretary of State Victoria Nuland told the National Press Club last December that the U.S. has invested $5 billion in organizing a network to achieve U.S. goals in Ukraine in order to give Ukraine the future it deserves. Now, I guess if she means organizing a network of paid protesters to dismantle the governments, that the Ukraine can be looted like Latvia and Greece, and then Washington can just use the Ukraine to set up bases in order to fight Russia, well, I doubt that that's the future that Ukrainians think they deserve. Now, the average man on the street in Kiev may be fighting for independence from the Russians that have plagued them since Stalin. Against corruption, they may be fighting against crony capitalism, but their leaders are just puppets of the CIA and Western bankers. And unfortunately, what these paid protesters might find when the smoke settles is that the new boss is the same as the old boss. Now, we've talked a little bit about the historical context surrounding the Ukrainian protests, specifically Stalin's campaign to crush the Ukraine. Now, considering the rampant corruption and economic disparity that is facing the Ukrainians, is that something that we're kind of seeing happening here in the U.S.? Just take a look at how Stalin took down the Ukraine in the first place, and let me know if any of this looks familiar to you. First, he removed the leaders and the old order. Here we have the feds attacking the founding fathers, calling them terrorists. They're undermining any opposition or reform with rampant election fraud. There's blatant persecution of party leaders and targeting of Tea Party groups by the IRS, just to name a few. Next, he co-opted the church leaders. Their message was basically support the government or be taken out. Here we have the IRS and the 501c churches dutifully looking the other way and justifying what the government does with Romans 13. Now, here's the big one that should be blatantly obvious. Divide and conquer the population with massive immigration. Now, in the case of the Ukraine, it was with a massive influx of Russians who supported the government and had no loyalty to either the Ukraine, its people, its government, its culture, or its traditions. Now, here in the U.S., amnesty and immigration reform is being shoved down our throats, as well as this attack on our culture. It's not so we can be the country that welcomes people with open arms, but so that voters who will support big government and have no loyalty to America can flood the polls. Phyllis Schlafly broke this down on the Alex Jones Show today.
These people who want to bring in millions of people, they're going to vote Democratic. And we know this not because it's my opinion or because I've talked to them. It's because all of these recognized pollsters have reached a consensus on this. And there's no dispute in it. These pollsters all say that the ones coming in, the big majority of them, are people who believe in big government offering more services than limited government, balanced budgets, and that sort of thing.
That's a very important interview. Watch the rest of it at InfoWars.com. But the last technique, and quite possibly the one with the most lasting psychological effects on the Ukrainians, death by forced starvation. Stalin starved the people out with contrived shortages. He introduced a program of agricultural collectivization that forced farmers to give up their private land, equipment, and livestock and join state-owned factory-like collective farms. Here we have the same thing. They're shutting down small farmers, making it illegal to buy raw products from them, slapping these small farmers with tons of regulations, while government-friendly farms are free to spread contaminated food. And we're, of course, seeing the implementation of Agenda 21 plans, as well as this GMO manufactured food crisis. But, of course, they say they're creating the GMOs for this food shortage. Well, if you would just stop shutting down small farms, there wouldn't be food scarcity in cities and towns all over the world. But, of course, that's what they do, create the problem and then present the solution so that everyone needs big government. That's why I think these protests, they go a lot deeper than just anti-government activists fighting to join the EU. In this clash, like so many others where we're seeing a civilization finally rising up to overthrow a corrupt government, there is one common denominator: big banks. The big banks that are too big to jail, too big to fail. They're always there. Now we have a seventh banker who has died under mysterious circumstances in the last month. This time, it's a J.P. Morgan Forex trader who leapt to his death from the top of the firm's Chatterhouse headquarters in Hong Kong. This brings the total to at least seven bankers who have died under mysterious circumstances, and it's more than 20 if you go back a bit further. Now, this includes another J.P. Morgan senior manager who jumped off the top of a skyscraper in London last month. Now, speculation is rife that the series of deaths are connected to some kind of looming financial crisis or a huge legal case targeting bankers for malfeasance, although no definite link has been established. Now, according to CIA manuals that were declassified as part of a Freedom of Information Act in May of 1997, the preferred killing method of the CIA is through contrived accidents, specifically a fall of 75 feet or more onto a hard surface, death by gravity. But of course, you know, these banker deaths will remain a mystery. Now, one thing is for certain, though, and that is that uncertainty is pervading every area of the global economy. Now, experts are already warning that the American way of life will be destroyed. There's, you know, obscene levels of debt. We're giving these faulty employment statistics. The writing is on the wall, and it's really only a matter of time. But what's really upsetting and not news to our viewers, this entire looming economic crisis is premeditated. We are dealing with these self-indulgent monsters who have completely released themselves from reality. Here you can look at Kevin Roos of New York Mag. He infiltrated a Wall Street secret society inductee party, and he basically reported the same thing that Alex Jones found when he crashed the Bohemian Grove. He said here that there's the most famous investors in the world, including executives from nearly every too-big-to-fail bank, private equity mega firm, were watching as inductees dressed in drag performed racist, raunchy skits, poking fun at the 99%, making light of the financial crisis, and bragging about their business conquests at Main Street's expense. So he says, how could any self-aware and socially conscious person make fun of a financial disaster that resulted in real harm to millions of people in the form of foreclosures, wrecked 401ks, and a devastating unemployment crisis? But that's just it. These are the same guys who created this crisis, and now they're reveling in it. The world's largest banks are fixing the prices of just about everything in the world, including the economies of entire countries. The game is rigged, folks. And now coming up later in the show, we're going to be speaking with Doug Hagman. He's going to break down the tie with all of these mysterious banker deaths. But the question is, should we be expecting a financial reset that will set off everyone into enslavement to a global economy? Well, the answer is yes. And if you need evidence of how this is going to happen, you need look no further than all of the recent reports on how vulnerable the grid is and cyber attacks and cybersecurity. They love, the globalists love to let you know about their New World Order plans before they happen. So here we have Obama just last week showing off the government's cybersecurity framework and offering the best practices guide for banking, defense, utilities, and other industries to help protect themselves against attacks by hackers. Now, the Wall Street Journal reports that the supposed Iranian hack of the Navy's largest unclassified computer network was more serious than originally reported. They say U.S. defense officials were taken aback by the skill of the Iranian hackers who were allegedly able to gain access to the network through a security weakness. Now, the Navy admits no data was stolen or email accounts compromised. However, the Iranians were able to conduct surveillance. Now, if the intrusion is in fact true, it may be viewed as a response to the Stuxnet virus, which was developed jointly by the United States and Israel, and that was a computer virus inserted into the network at a nuclear facility in Iran. Now, Iran did admit to establishing, quote, the world's strongest cyber army in response. In January of 2013, U.S. government officials claimed that Iran attacked U.S. bank networks in retaliation for economic sanctions imposed on the country. And according to a former official in the State and Commerce Departments, there is no doubt within the U.S. government that Iran is behind these attacks. So it sounds to me like Iran will be taking the fall for any coming globalist-backed cyber attacks. But the U.S. has publicly disclosed that it has created 13 teams of covert hackers to carry out cyber attacks against other countries. And the chief of the NSA said the teams are offensive in nature and will defend the country against cyber attacks. So we already know who is the most skilled in this cyber attack, cybersecurity game. It's the U.S. Meanwhile, Asia Weekly is reporting that Japan is secretly developing a nuclear weapons program in response to the increasing hostilities in China over the East China Sea dispute. Now, according to the report, Japan has recently demanded that the U.S. return 300 kilograms of plutonium, noting that Mitsubishi, Hitachi, and Toshiba all possess expertise in the area of nuclear energy, and along with 200 other small companies, they could all be called upon to kickstart a nuclear weapons program. Japan already has 40 tons of plutonium in its possession. Now, obviously, this is not a good thing that Japan is building nuclear weapons, but basically they're giving us a vote of no confidence. They have no confidence that the U.S. is going to be around to protect them, much less would the U.S. actually have their back against China, its biggest creditor. I don't think so. So here we have a case of Japan looking out for their best interests. Now, coming up, the mainstream media has been reporting that the Nazis planned on using mosquitoes as a bioweapon. But what about the fact that Bill Gates is using this same technology for forced vaccinations? And then I'm going to have my interview with Doug Hagman. He'll be investigating the link between these mysterious banker deaths. Stick around.
The globalist social engineers are not just targeting us with propaganda. They are manipulating our genetics. We are being targeted at every level by estrogen mimickers that lower our testosterone and other hormones and natural compounds that the body needs. After consulting top doctors, nutritionists, pharmacists, and others, we have developed what I believe is the ultimate non-GMO organic super male vitality formula sourced from powerful organic herbs and then concentrated or maximum potency. Super Male Vitality was developed to activate your body's own natural processes instead of using synthetic chemicals. Super Male Vitality by InfoWars Life is so powerful that I only take half the recommended dose. For a limited time, we are offering 15% off Super Male Vitality at InfoWarsLife.com to introduce you to this powerful supplement. Visit InfoWarsLife.com today to secure your Super Male Vitality. InfoWarsLife.com.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. And the InfoWars Army is standing strong. Wake up your family, friends, and neighbors and break the matrix at InfoWarsStore.com. Learn the truth and spread the message of liberty with the world's most comprehensive collection of books and documentary films. Maintain a healthy metabolism and energize your body to perform at peak health with Survival Shield Nascent Iodine. Protect your family and be prepared with survival foods and emergency preparedness kits. And now you can drink safe water with your own ProPure water filtration system, which removes fluoride and other harmful chemicals from your family's water supply. Save 10% with the promo code WATER. So join the revolution. InfoWarsStore.com.
Now, malaria is, of course, transmitted by mosquitoes. I brought some here so you could experience this. We'll let those roam around the auditorium a little bit. There. There's no reason only poor people should have the experience.
That was Bill Gates laughing about how he plans to use mosquitoes to force medicate against malaria. With horrible side effects accompanying voluntary vaccinations, I, for one, want to be in control of the needle, whether it comes from a pharmacist or a mosquito's face. In a world where taking too much cough syrup can send you to the hospital, can't taking too many vaccinations do the same thing? That's exactly what Nazi scientists were hoping for during World War II. They wanted to use mosquitoes as bioweapons to poison their opposition, a dream that was fulfilled when they switched out the mosquitoes for ticks on Plum Island. Years ago, the U.S. government brought Nazi minds to the states under Operation Paperclip to carry out various scientific functions. On Plum Island, Eric Traub experimented with ticks as bioweapons. In the 1970s, Lyme, Connecticut had an outbreak of what is now known as Lyme disease. There have been other strange occurrences that many speculate are related to the work done on Plum Island. So go ahead, opt out of vaccinating your child. Bill Gates and Eric Traub have the medicine. You can find more reports at InfoWars.com.
Symbols are powerful, and the globalists have hijacked the symbols of America. They've turned them into their own symbols. Well, we are restoring the idea of the true republic, not the counterfeit globalist empire, by promoting the icon George Washington and others. That's why we're rolling out an 100% made in America line of incredible pro-liberty apparel. We are repopularizing liberty. We are helping fellow Americans rediscover what made this country great. We are the spirit of 1776. We are 1776 worldwide. We are all brothers and sisters in arms in the animating contest of liberty in the long march towards humanity's ultimate destiny of freedom. Visit madein1776.com today and vote with your dollars to promote truly made in America, high quality products, and promote the ideals of liberty.
We're on the march. The empire's on the run. And the InfoWars army is standing strong. Wake up your family, friends, and neighbors and break the matrix at InfoWarsStore.com. Learn the truth and spread the message of liberty with the world's most comprehensive collection of books and documentary films. Maintain a healthy metabolism and energize your body to perform at peak health with Survival Shield Nascent Iodine. Protect your family and be prepared with survival foods and emergency preparedness kits. And now you can drink safe water with your own ProPure water filtration system, which removes fluoride and other harmful chemicals from your family's water supply. Save 10% with the promo code WATER. So join the revolution. InfoWarsStore.com.
Well, yet another banker has died under mysterious circumstances. It'll be the seventh in just under a month. So do these mysterious banker deaths point to a looming financial crisis or something more sinister, like a methodical silencing of anyone who could potentially blow the whistle on financial fraud. Well, today I'm going to be speaking with Doug Hagman of the Hagman & Hagman radio show. He's a 30-year multi-state licensed private investigator, and you can read his articles on HomelandSecurityUS.com. And today I'm going to be speaking with him about his most recent article exposing what lies beneath the bodies of dead bankers and what lies ahead for us. Thank you for joining us, Doug.
Thank you for having me.
So can you just sort of recap some of these banker deaths and tie in how they're all related?
Not a problem. What we've seen here of late, beginning in the first part of the year, is it began with the disappearance of a reporter working for the Wall Street Journal at the Dow Jones desk. And now this gentleman went out for a walk on a Saturday. He disappeared without a trace. They still have not found him yet. Of course, he's a recipient of a liver transplant and is in need of medication. His family has had no contact. So this gentleman's been missing for over a month. Then we move right into a number of people who are interrelated in the financial industry. You've got Tim Dickinson, the UK-based communications director at Swiss Re AG. You've got William Brokesmith. You've got Carl Slim, Gabriel McGee, and others, all of whom are related to or have some associated with these various large central banks. It seems to focus, or at least the epicenter of all this appears to be J.P. Morgan. Now in my investigation, what I found out, a couple of things. If we go back in time, for example, if we go back into 1974, one of the first, perhaps one of the first more modern suicides, if you will, is that of Louis Boyer, who happened to be an informant who gave some information about the gold, the commodities, but the gold specifically in Fort Knox. And, of course, she was later identified as the informant of a story about the missing gold in Fort Knox. She, come to find out, was a secretary to Nelson Rockefeller on July 3rd, 1974. She allegedly leapt to her death from the 10th story high rise in New York City. So looking back here 40 years ago, you're looking at a similar situation as we're seeing today. Now today, you've got this litany of missing bank or the suicided bankers now. And I use suicide as a verb intentionally. But from my investigation, what we're seeing is this interrelation of all of these people who have allegedly committed suicide or have met their untimely demise. And there are a few common denominators here, one of which is, of course, the commodities market. Another, of course, is their placement within the financial system. And the third aspect, and I think this is a very important aspect, is the current state of surveillance that's in play here, that's being used by the very banks that are under investigation for numerous frauds, including but not limited to commodities trading or commodities frauds. These banks are actually conducting surveillance in tandem with, if people can believe this, in tandem with the NYPD and, of course, our intelligence agencies both here and abroad, and that includes the CIA here as well as the MI5 and MI6 in the UK. And what we're seeing is a very efficient use of surveillance that not only identifies, I call them problem children, in terms of potential leakers or actual leakers or whistleblowers, and of course being able to silence them and make it look, for example, as a suicide or at least an unresolved death. You've got one death here, of course, that people are aware of, where one gentleman had reportedly committed suicide at his own hand by shooting himself several times in the head, neck, and torso with a nail gun. Now, 30 years as an investigator, I've conducted many investigations about suspicious deaths. I've seen some pretty odd deaths, but nothing to that extent. So it seems to be becoming more blatant. What we're seeing is becoming much more blatant than we've ever seen before. So that tells me, as an investigator, based on my experience, that we're looking at something, we're looking at a cleanup operation. My sources are telling me it's a cleanup operation. My sources are telling me there will be more. And I'm on record as saying, as recently as last Friday and again on yesterday, during my radio program, that there will be more. And we can expect more of these kind of deaths. So this is what we're looking at in a larger sense.
Right. And historically, you know, during the Great Depression, we've heard of banker suicides. But here it seems to be more of a methodical silencing of people with inside information, right, who could expose fraud, financial fraud. A lot of financial fraud scandals are out in the open now.
Exactly. And I understand people's interest in comparing the suicide or the depression, the suicides that took place then with today. I understand that mentality to do so. I think it's an entirely different paradigm. I think it's an entirely different matter. Whereas before they were committing suicides for the most part based on the losses that they either incurred or caused others to incur. Today, this is a preemptive tactic by the big banks. This is what my investigation, this is what I conclude based on the information I'm getting from my sources, and I certainly would stand by that via my investigation.
So would you say that this isn't a looming financial crisis, it's not an indicator of that, but it's more so a silencing of potential whistleblowers?
Well, you know what? I think it's both. And I think that's a very interesting perception. I think it's both. I think that this is indicative that we're reaching the end of the line with respect to the fraud, with respect to the being able to cover this up. These are very blatant interrelated suicides, deaths, disappearances. So this portends something in the, I would say in the future. Now, I don't know when, you know, whether it's a week, a month, a year, but I do look at this as a cleanup operation that they're attempting to silence, in my view. They're attempting to silence these people. They're attempting to, whether these individuals stumbled upon information or had information, whether they were known to be a problem or discovered recently to be a problem, but I do believe that this is part and parcel to a larger agenda, and that agenda is to kill the U.S. dollar, to establish a one-world economic system. They've got to do this, and they've got to get the United States out of the way. And the other thing is too, they've got to get the people, the whistleblowers, out of the way. So I think that this is a multifaceted situation that we're looking at. There's not one easy, simple explanation. You've got to look at this from different perspectives, and there I think you'll find the that we're facing, in my view, we're facing a major financial reset. It's on a global scale. This is all about covering their bases. You see, they're on a time schedule, and to them, when they, and I'm talking about the power brokers, want to bring down the economy, they want to do it on their schedule. They don't want to be exposed or do it on someone else's schedule. So this is part and parcel to that larger agenda.
Right. And it's very interesting what we're seeing a lot on the news now. They're really pushing about how vulnerable our infrastructure is and the grid and how vulnerable we are to a cyber attack. And it's interesting how you point out that JP Morgan and banks are backing this huge surveillance system that's in place.
Not only backing it, which you're correct, but they are through our taxpayer money, through in America here, through our taxpayer money, at 55 Broadway, JP Morgan, other big banks, they've got this huge row of computer monitors that are staffed by JP Morgan Chase and other financial institutions, security operatives. So what we're looking at is, not only are the police or the intelligence services conducting surveillance of every square inch of Wall Street, of Lower Manhattan, in the city of London, but their intelligence agencies, the banks are actually doing so as well. So there's an unprecedented level of cooperation and interaction. Well, it is precedented, or there is precedent there if you look back in Germany with respect to pre-Nazi Germany with respect to the surveillance, of course, without this type of technology.
All right. Well, it's interesting. You'd think they'd, with all of that surveillance, they'd be able to give a little bit more information into the disappearance of the Dow Jones reporter.
Well, now, the Dow Jones reporter did disappear in New Jersey. He went for a walk on a Saturday afternoon and did not return. So that's a little bit different. There were no, that didn't take place in downtown Manhattan. But that's a very interesting case in and of itself. And we, of course, offer our prayers for the family members and the families of all these victims and, of course, the missing Wall Street Journal reporter as well. But, you know, it certainly is interesting. The timing is well beyond coincidental. This is indeed planned, and this is based on what I've determined. And I'm still investigating this with more to come. This, and there will be more deaths. Let me just say this. There will be more people who will meet an untimely demise under the pretext of suicide or just simple disappearance here in the United States as well as other countries.
Right, and it's such an important issue, and for whatever reason, it's not being reported. If there were seven rock stars who had killed themselves or seven actors that had, you know, mysteriously disappeared or suicided themselves, it's, we would definitely be hearing about it. It'd be all over the news.
Exactly. And so that's another aspect here that we have to look at. What is the media doing? They're not only not reporting this, in my view, whether it's CNBC, MSNBC, you name the network, by not reporting these ties in this as one large story, based on what I can come up with, they're complicit in keeping from the American public what is to come, as well as these people and their poor families.
Exactly. Well, Doug, thank you so much for your insight. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, you can keep up to date on all of Hagman's latest stories at HomelandSecurityUS.com. And, of course, we will keep you up to date with all the latest breaking news at InfoWars.com. The latest story is up there today on the seventh banker who has died under mysterious circumstances. Thank you for watching the InfoWars Nightly News tonight. We'll see you here tomorrow at 7 p.m. Central. Now you can watch The Alex Jones Show live as it happens at InfoWars.com/show.
You'll find links to all of our content there and a free 15-day trial for Prison Planet TV.
More than 60 movies and documentaries all in one place at InfoWars.com/show.